Hey, welcome to Kingsway Caringba. We are a community inspired by love to live differently. I'm Dave, one of the pastors here. It's so great to have you with us. We pray this teaching will inspire you, build your faith, and lead you to a life of fullness and freedom in Jesus. Enjoy the message.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm not sure if you remember me or not. I'm Brett. I just had a thought then. I've been a part of this church at the end of this year. It'll be 40 years. It's like, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, wow. Yeah, crazy, right? And next year will be my 20th year leading Kingsway. So I've just returned from a sabbatical, if you can call it that, a sabbatical of sorts, a break for 6 months working with our Phnom Penh Cambodia church in Cambodia, obviously, and that's been fantastic. But I'm back and looking forward to sharing with you this morning around the start of our series on joy. And I think I'm putting my preaching hat on now as opposed to my worship playing hat, but I think I've been away for 6 months and they're putting me on everything they possibly can, because I obviously haven't been, you know, paying my way here very much. And so I think the next 6 months or maybe 2 months I'll do 6 months worth of work. Although the same thing happened in Cambodia when I was about to leave and they realized I was going in 5 weeks, they put me down to preach every week for 5 weeks. So it's like I'm just double whammy. So we're doing a little journey through some of the big ideas in Philippians over the next number of weeks, and I'm starting that today. So I get the really easy topic of joy in suffering. Good one. Thanks, guys. Let's pray into that, shall we? God, I just thank you for your church. I thank you for your love and passion for your church. You want to see your church flourish, and that is the people you want to see flourish, which is your church. And God, even in this space this morning, there are people that are walking through or have walked through or will walk through seasons of hard stuff. Trials and suffering and grief, and we just pray that you'd bring light into that today. Amen. I think Mark Twain said that the two things that shape our lives more than anything is beauty, so joy and fun times, and this can be my beauty and fun times chair. It's not because just you guys are here, and because that will seem bad for them, but exactly, because Jen's over there. but yeah, he says, like, beauty, it shapes us, right? So the fun things in life, the breathtaking moments where we are inspired and, you know, that sunset or that mountaintop experience or the birth of a child or whatever it is that just adds that sense of beauty and love and joy and excitement, and it shapes us, right? And those moments are precious and we hold on to those moments and they're exciting and they help us through life. But then we do have the other side. So beauty is one. Affliction, he says, is the other one that shapes us. No, don't take it personally. So, you know, on this side we have this, affliction. So our grief, our trials, the hard stuff. You know, the times that when we're walking through, it feels like everything is hard and heavy and there's no answers and we're stuck, or we just feel like we're carrying this weight on our shoulders, this sense of burden or suffering or grief. And we've all been through this as well. You know, if you've lived more than 20 years, you've been in this chair. You've gone through hard times when things haven't gone the way you wanted them to go, when a relationship hasn't worked, when someone you've loved has passed away, when you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for God to bring healing, and in your mind it hasn't happened the way you thought or wanted it to happen. And you've sat in this chair, and that chair, even in your own journey, has shaped you. It has shaped the way you think. It has challenged your self, your identity, the person that you are. As much as this has, the joyful, exciting moments of our lives, they shape us as well. We want these ones more than those ones, right? Yeah? I think we all do. I think generally the human race, what we tend to do is we try to avoid this as much as possible. And we'll do whatever we can to avoid this. Like we'll run from it, you name it. Sometimes we just ignore that it even exists. Because sometimes it's just damn well too hard. So it's almost like we have these two kind of opposite, opposing experiences of life. And in a kind of strange, unexpected way, Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, he brings these two together and almost marries them as one. It's kind of weird. He doesn't separate them, because one of the big themes in the letter to the church in Philippi, the Philippians, who were at the time suffering persecution. Okay, at this point of time in history, Christianity was kind of illegal. And so the church was under pressure. There was suffering and persecution and heartache in the church. They were going through hard stuff. Their faith was being challenged. People were being imprisoned and killed because they put their hand up and said, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back." And so the church is challenged. The people of God are challenged. They're suffering. And Paul himself writes this letter. It's like the friendship letter, if you like, to his friends. He writes it from prison. Right? Now, I haven't seen what prison life would be like in 60-something AD, but I can pretty well imagine it's probably not as nice as it is today. Not saying that prison would be nice, but in comparison, in my head and from what I understand, Paul is in prison, which means he's in an overcrowded, smelly, filthy, like infested, gross, in my head, I imagine like a pit in the ground with a grate over the top. You know, where people walk past and either spit at you or throw some leftover food for you to eat. Paul is suffering. He is in a bad, unhealthy, unhappy place. I was going to use another descriptive word then and thought better of it. Just in case someone got offended. So you all know what that word was, really, don't you? That's good. So he's here in this place, and yet he writes this letter to the church that's also in this place. But he writes this letter going, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." You know, right? Rejoice, rejoice. Let's do the round. No, let's not. I don't know about you, but it's kind of like, seriously? You know, in Philippians 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Be joyful in every situation and circumstance." Like the pursuit of kind of joy and happiness is, the human race just go, that's what they want, right? It's this pursuit of happiness and joy. They don't want this experience. And I don't blame them. One of the ladies in our Phnom Penh church, her name is Kuntia, and she is a single mum. And our church in Phnom Penh is situated in a fairly poor area of Cambodia, of Phnom Penh, the capital city. And it's kind of like out of the main area of city in a quite a, by Cambodian city standards, a poor kind of area. She's a single mum. She has three now. They're teenage boys, and they're all involved at Kingsway. And I mean, I've been journeying with Kuntia for maybe sort of 4 or 5 years, because when she first came to church, she was here. Her husband, her marriage had dissolved, become abusive and hard, and she was suicidal. And she would admit this and share this with me. Her life was here. And yet through her connection and embrace and being loved by that community, over a season of time, God moved her from here to here. But more in the way Paul describes it. Because it's actually more like this in this letter to the Philippians. And in her experience, it's actually more like this. Because the joy that Jesus promises in John 15, where he says, I'm telling you this because I want my joy to be in you and your joy to be complete, that joy, it doesn't take away this. It doesn't take away this. This is still present. Our suffering and our hard stuff, and it doesn't necessarily even alleviate the pain we're enduring. It doesn't make our suffering magically disappear. But joy can grow in amidst that. Joy can be present. It can even flourish in trial, because genuine joy, authentic joy, the joy we know because we know Jesus, is not dependent so much on what's going on around us. It's dependent on what's going on in us. And that's why these can coexist, that these two kind of opposing worlds, in certainly by the way we look at them as a human race, we look at them as very different, and like, over here I've been through this, and over here I've experienced this. This is why, in the concept, in theological, biblical, being in relationship with God concept, these two can actually coexist together. We can walk through, got to remember which chair was which, we can walk through affliction and suffering and grief and hardship at the same time as we can encounter and experience joy. This doesn't disappear. We want it to. Yes, we want it to. But it doesn't disappear. It's still present in the midst of the joy, which is why Paul can say, from a place of suffering himself, that I am joyful. I think the testimony of authentic joy is a challenge to our modern church, particularly in the Western mindset, because even in the church, we equate, I believe, this and this as separate. You know, if you follow Jesus and do all the right things and tick all the boxes, that this is your life. Joyful, joyful. But I look around this room and I can tell you that is not truth. Because I look around this room and I know a lot of you for a long time. And I know a lot of you have sat here and gone through absolute suffering and grief and pain and unanswered questions and doubt and fears and heartache and struggles as a follower of Jesus. And it's interesting because actually Jesus says, if you follow me, you're going to have to expect this, right? So, but we don't want that. We want healthy, wealthy, and wise. Isn't that the promise of being a Christian? That's what I thought. That if I decide to follow Jesus, that everything is going to, all my ducks are going to line up, and I'm going to be rich and famous and healthy and woo! Be able to grow a mo like that. I wish I could grow a mo like that. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life, Paul says, from prison. So at least he's speaking from experience. He's not like out there having a good time telling the Philippian church who are suffering to go, hey guys, harden up. Be joyful. No, he's like, he's living here, right? He's there. He's experiencing both suffering, and in his suffering, he's being cheerful and joyous. He says, let joy overflow. Like, don't just be a little bit happy or joyful. He's going, no, no, no. Woo! Like, overflow. Let it out. I don't know about you, but there's many a day where I do not feel like doing that. I mean, I'm a generally happy, positive person on the inside. But it doesn't always kind of like come out, you know? The testimony of authentic joy, I believe, is a challenge for us, for the church in the West, because it's not when the sun is shining that our joy is tested. You know, last week I spoke about kind of courage redefined, and in a sense what Paul is challenging us and the church is joy redefined. And true, authentic joy reveals that a person knows Jesus even in the tough times. Because Paul's in a tough spot. And he's in this conflict of two worlds colliding. And he's almost saying to the Philippian church that you can experience both through relationship with Jesus. Stay true to your relationship and to the gospel. And even in the midst of pain that we all work through, and did I say walk or work? Both. We will have this. You will have this. If you have not already, this will come. You cannot avoid pain as much as we try to. Whether it's the loss of someone you love, whether it's a broken, whether it's just you feel stuck in life and you just cannot make sense of where you want to go and what you want to do. You doubt yourself. You know, one of the things I believe that Jesus does for us is he speaks into our identity and our purpose. And I actually think identity, purpose, and belonging, and these are things that I'm pretty much will be talking about forever, because they are things that I believe God has laid on my heart as these are the three big questions that every person wants answered. Who am I? Why am I here? And where do I fit? Identity, purpose, and belonging. And I believe that our enemy and the world tries its best to take those things from us because they're so core, I believe, to knowing joy. Because knowing who we truly are and why we are on the planet and who we are doing that with, if you have that and are developing that and are growing that in our journey, then what it does is, regardless of what goes on out there, we can experience. See, Paul, he knew who he was. His identity was secure in Jesus, in Christ. He'd had a radical encounter with the living Jesus that changed who he was. This is who you are. And he had purpose. And you read Philippians, you can see his purpose. And he had a tribe that he was doing it with. The way he speaks to the church in Philippi is as friends. You know, where's my scripture? Better read you some of that, shouldn't I? Philippians 1. 3-6 says, I thank my God. So he's thankful in his prison. In all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Woohoo! He's in prison, but he's joyful. Because of your partnership with me in the gospel from the first day until now, there's this tribe, you know. He's living out his purpose in community. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus. Ultimately, a person's identity, purpose, and belonging, I believe, are only fully discovered and experienced and lived out through relationship with Jesus. And it's an ongoing life's journey, right? Well, it has been for me. I haven't figured it out yet. I don't have five steps to successful living worked out. I thought I did once, but life got the better of me. So in the midst of this place, I just get the band up, apart from me. In the midst of this place where we live in this tension and conflict of joy and suffering, we often doubt ourselves. We confront ourselves at so many levels because this is how we view it. This is our belief system, if you like, and our mindset is that these two have to be separate. I can't have that with this. And so we doubt ourselves, we confront our understanding at every level. And it can plummet when we're here, when we're experiencing this, it can plummet our sense of self-worth and our internal world into this deeper, more chaotic confusion and negativity. We want to resolve this tension. And sometimes, as followers of Jesus, even more, because we don't know why I would experience this as a follower of Jesus. Because, like, didn't Jesus say, I've come that you would have life in all its fullness? Didn't, like, Jesus promise us healing? And yet, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, we sit here and we go, what the heck are you doing, God? Where are you in this? Because this is what I thought I would have. This was my expectation. You know, and this is the promise of Jesus. And this is the challenge to the church in Philippi. And this is Paul's reality. I did not promise you this in isolation of this. I promised you this with this. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Particularly, I think, for Christians. Particularly in the church in the West. I see this more lived out in Phnom Penh because this is their reality sometimes, a lot of the time. But our expectation as modern Western Christians is that, no, we're going to live here. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Must mean that my life is good. But authentic joy is a profound decision of faith and hope in the power and promise of Jesus' own life and love. Paul in prison could be joyful, and was. And he encourages the Philippians to also be joyful in their suffering. And this is a challenge, right? This is not easy. But these two can exist in the life of a person who chooses to follow Jesus. This is the promise of life in all its fullness, is that even amidst your suffering, your pain, your friend's pain, your trial, your fears, your anxiety, your tiredness, your unanswered questions, your doubt, whatever it is, it's okay because God is here with you in it and wants to bring you a sense of joy in it. Not apart from it. And that's the power of the gospel. It's the beauty of the kingdom of God. Is that even as humans in the midst of our stuff, we can experience and encounter joy and peace and love and hope and stand. Jesus, I thank you that you are here, that you are present, that you are amongst us, you are here with us. And I acknowledge the reality that for some here this morning, they feel like they're sitting on one of these chairs and life is tough. They're walking through some hard stuff. They're being challenged. They're suffering, they're hurting. They're feeling like they're broken. We're not all in that place, but some are, and that's okay. Some are doubting, some are questioning, some are not sure, some are confused, some are hurting, some are fearful, and it's okay. My prayer for each of us, and particularly those who are walking through something, feel stuck in the midst of something, is that even in that, they would encounter you and your joy in Jesus' name. That your joy would be in them. And that their joy would be complete as you promised in John 15. Because this is not fake it till you make it. This is the reality of what it means to follow Jesus. And what it means to be a human is to feel and to hurt and to suffer. But in that, we can experience and encounter you, Jesus. The hope that you bring, the love that you pour out, and the joy of being known by a living God. Let's worship together.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you've been blessed by this teaching. If you'd like to connect with us, make a financial gift, or find out more about Kingsway Churches, head to kingsway.org.au. Have a good one.